front, you may want to take those sheets. I don't know if you have those sheets on, you might pass them out. We have the Zechariah chapter 11. We're in chapter 11 now. And we want to just by way of review, so Greg and the family will be able to understand. Zechariah, what kind of a prophet did we say?
Post-exilic.
What does that mean, a post-exilic prophet?
Generally means a prophet ministered after the Babylonian exile.
After the Babylonian exile, and what two tribes were present in that Babylonian exile? What two tribes of Israel? Babylon. Benjamin and what's that? Judah and Benjamin. How long were they in this captivity?
Yes.
70 years. And they came back. And what books were written also that tells us a little bit about their return? In addition to the prophets.
Ezra.
And Nehemiah. About the building of the wall, building of the temple, back again. One of the prophets, the post-exilic prophets, or after the exile prophets, in addition to Zechariah. Haggai. And Malachi. So Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, those are after the exile, after they came back to Babylon, they were prophets predicting and talking to the people. Right, so in chapter 11, I call this Judgment of the Shepherds. Many people feel that this goes back to the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shows God's judgment against the people of Israel because they rejected the Messiah. Amen?
I should have mentioned this before, but the
embedding
code is now working.
Is
there
a better
number? It was
been
earlier today, but the computer's got shut off, and
okay.
Then it gets turned back on.
So. Number two, embedded computer's waiting. Questions at bftbc.org. If you want to give us an email, or 856-261-9018. If you want to call in, questions and comments, and say hello to us, and welcome our guests if you wish. All right, Zechariah, let's read verses chapter 11. No, I have 12 here. I'm trying to get the wrong chapter.
You want this to be in the sheet here?
Yeah, it is wrong. Well, I guess I've labeled 12, but it is wrong. Well, let's read chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3 together. Open my doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may destroy thy cedars. Howl, fir tree, for the cedar is fallen, because the mighty are spoiled. Howl, ye oaks of Bashan. For the glory for the village is come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoiled. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the cry of their glory is spoiled. So, Lebanon is where? In Babylon or in Palestine area? Palestine area. And it says that the fire may devour their cedars. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a bad thing. See, this is God's wrath against the people of Israel because many feel the rejection of the Lord Jesus at his first coming.
I was just reading this about
how the temple
that he built,
and when the cedars of Lebanon, that's right. Cedars of Lebanon, that's
exactly right. That was very valuable.
Very valuable indeed to them.
In order to get the cedar trees, from what I understand, I'm not sure if it's the Jordan River or the Mediterranean City, they float them down the river.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. There's some body of water that I believe that they would usually part of the way transport the fallout, so the lumber.
Mediterranean, probably.
So it would be able to be transported. And cedars are valuable, even today, cedars are very valuable type of wood. Mm-hmm. It would be really valuable in that thing. It's the best wood that they could have had probably in that day. It's very big wood that have today too. It's kind of rare.
Mm-hmm.
We have moths that like cedar. We have sometimes certain closets of our houses are lined with cedar.
Yes, cedar gardens. Mm-hmm.
So this forest of cedar trees that was going to be burnt up is part of their judgment that's going to come upon them.
Judgment of the Lord. The cedars. And then in verse 2, again, the cedar is fallen. Now what about the mighty? Who would the mighty be? What does that say about the mighty in verse 2? What's happened to them?
They're spoiled.
All right. And they were judged by the Lord. Apparently, of course, Israel, after they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, was judged in 70 AD. The whole temple was destroyed, and they were back in the captivity. They were dispersed. And so the mighty are spoiled. Who are the mighty in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Who are the mighty ones of that day? The prophets were the mighty ones. Pharisees. Are these Pharisees? Those unbelievers have rejected the Lord Jesus as Savior. They're spoiled. How? The oaks of Israel, here's the oaks now, again, for the forest of the vineyard has come down. So that judgment on the trees are mentioned here. And then verse number 3, what about the shepherds? What is their response to this judgment?
Howling,
all right? Now, shepherds, many times, there could be physical shepherds like for sheep, but sometimes the word shepherd is used for kings and leaders and those in authority, those that are judging. And they are to howl because what's true of their glory? Now, the leaders have glory? Yes. They should have a little bit, but what does it mean to have leaders having glory? What does that mean? Recognition, value, and respect, and thanks, honor that's given to them. And what's happened to the glory here of these leaders? They're spoiled again, just like up above, the spoiling of these shepherds. There's the roaring of young lions for the pride of Jordan. Again, is spoiled. The word spoiled is repeated, isn't it? What is pride? How would you define pride? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Is it a bad thing? Generally a bad thing.
Is it pride in your accomplishment, in your work?
Well, sometimes we use it in a good sense. Many times it's a bad sense. In other words, pride goes before what? The destruction of the Holy Spirit before a fall. So you see, in the Bible, as many times pride is not. They're to watch the election of deacons in local churches. What is the reason given in Timothy?
It's
to be lifted up with pride and fall like the devil, you see. And the passage of, what was Satan's pride? How did he get pride? As it mentions him. Must have been like God, was it? It was beauty and so on. Seven I wills, is it Isaiah 14? Seven I wills. I will be like the Most High, I will exalt myself above the heavens, all these different things. Questions at bftbc.org, give us an email or 856-261-9018, give us a call if you want. So the pride is a serious thing. Now sometimes you say you take pride in your work in a sense of something that you are happy about, but on the other hand, a lot of times the proud means arrogance, puffiness, haughtiness, you know, big.
In a limited sense, you have this work ethic. You want to do a good job in your assignments, no matter what they might be. And perhaps another word you could use, but I mean, that's it's a limited concept of fighting your work. In other words, you want to be.
So there's a good aspect.
I mean, it's not that we want to say there's. It's a different definition, and it has this sphere and understanding what it means.
Mm-hmm. It's very good, yeah.
I guess I was just going to say in the bad aspect, it's gloating over the Lord.
All right. Over the Lord.
Gloating over the glory.
The compliments, you know, what those are.
Too much glory, pushing glory on people.
You were talking about glorying and.
Gloating. I didn't hear gloating. Bragging and gloating and so on. Yes, that's right.
But doesn't it mean here that the pride of Jordan is spoiled? So may that be the best of Jordan?
Probably.
Spoiled.
The pride. But in the New Testament, goeth before a fall.
Pride.
Pride goeth before a fall. And the Holy Spirit. You see, these are things. And so they're different.
Proverbs. What are
Proverbs? Is it Proverbs?
Okay.
Well, the lowly, let the Lord lift you up. I know that.
Yeah.
Know that?
The changes.
Humble yourself before the Lord, he will listen to us. Humble yourself, Lord.
God,
he should live up. So then we have Proverbs, the five of the four, yes, five of the four, yes. Tammy?
I thought Joy had an interesting point about the glory, you know, because the glory or the idea of, you know, the facts of joy, you know, it's good now.
Yes. Sometimes, sometimes we refer to our children or our spouse as our pride and joy. So that's not, there's some good things about it. In other words, we're happy about them, we rejoice about them, not in an evil sense, but we, as you say, take pride in our work, we try to do, but we don't want to be proud, arrogant, haughty, and with a nose up in the air. I see that's a point. Questions of BTC now over 856-261-9018. Yeah, Vaughn? Yes, call in, say hello to our visitors now. Greg and is it Vicki? Jackie and Allison? And Jeffrey. Alyssa?
Yes.
Okay, Alyssa and Jeffrey. They're from New York. They're the Bingham area of New York. Say hello to them. I'm going to read verse number 4, 5, and 6 together. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter, which possess your slaver, and hold themselves in high hope. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men and one of his neighbor's hand, and the house of the king. And they shall smite the land, and out of their hand I will not deliver them. Right, verse number 4. What does the Lord say here? Who's going to feed? The flock of slaughter. What would that type of, would that be a good idea or a bad idea? The flock of slaughter. What do you do with flocks sometimes? Possibly. Feed the flock, maybe fill the slaughter. The judgment, yes, can it? Many fathom them up so they're fat to the slaughter, it could be, yes. Yes, hello, Norma, right ahead, from North Dakota. Oh, she called in and then she left. Let me see. Maybe she'll get her back. Maybe she, maybe got fell out.
Hello?
Hi, Norma. You called us? You have something? Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did call. Hello, everybody.
No.
Hello.
Let's wait, girl. Let's wait to give her a wave. Okay, she was okay. Good. Thank you for calling in, Norma.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well,
bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so you want to call and say hello to the visitors and others? We get these sometimes, they call in for different questions. Well, the rest of you call in as well, 856-261-9018 or 856 or questions at bftbc.org. Ed, do you have something?
No.
Oh, just okay. All right, so in this verse 4, feed the flock, the slaughter, maybe fatten them up. In verse number 5, whose possessors say, what would a possessor be? A possessor. Someone that what?
That
has them. What was it?
Owner.
Oh, okay. Those that are what now?
Owners.
Those that are holding people. Those that possess them. They're the slaveholders. In other words, the slaves, the possessors of the slaves, or the slave would be the...
In this case, was it be someone that owns the plots? The owners of the plots?
Could be.
The possessors
of... Of the flock, the slaughter?
That's it, the word of my God, feed the flock of the slaughter whose possessors slay them.
Mm-hmm.
Even the possessors, are they felt they're possessing the flocks?
Yes, are they possessing the flocks?
Are they the owners of the flocks?
Yes, and those could be two different ways of interpreting. One would be the flocks of sheep, and they kill the sheep and slay the sheep. The second, these could be people who would be like sheep, and the possessors would slay them and kill them and so on.
So in that sense, the possessors are the spiritual leaders?
Probably spiritual leaders, yeah. And what did they do after they slay the poor people in verse number 5? Hold themselves not dead. What would that mean? What do we need for people to not hold themselves guilty? No responsibility. Reverend Winter, who had these terrible pictures they set up, all these women, does he hold himself guilty enough to resign?
No.
No. He apologized, pushed the lie through his teeth, and he apologized. But I'm not going to resign, see? But these people, some people are that way. They're straight people, but they hold themselves not guilty. Is anyone not guilty before, as far as the Lord is concerned?
No.
Anyway, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Solomon said, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. This is one righteous, no, not one. That's right, I connect. So to have people hold themselves not guilty when they are guilty, and what about the sinners that are lost and unsaved? Do they think they're not guilty?
I don't think
they're not. Many people. They're not guilty, they're all right. People that are not Christian, not saved, they say, well, I'm good enough. Is that good enough to go to heaven? Yeah, Anna.
I have a message from the Spirit.
Okay.
Hello to everyone, and welcome to the visitors. I understand, feeling overwhelmed, I have 16 traffic, and we're praying for safe travel. Enjoying the Bible study. Julie.
That's right, Julie.
So
good to see you, the traffic, she understands it. She's in Erie, Pennsylvania. There's all kinds of traffic. See, so thank you, Julie, for saying what questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Say hello to us. Those that are lost. Yeah, Anna, go ahead. Go ahead.
Pastor, why don't you say hello to everyone there? How do you do? All the children, watching my internet. Especially bringing school again, show them the name. We know sometimes that you are able to join us for this evening Bible study. We are praying for family members and we show them all. God bless each one in his love. Call Vicky.
Call Vicky Albert, the name. We have to say the name, see? Yeah, let's take a look. Give them away. That's good.
Thanks.
Okay, I see you with this internet. It's a situation that's very friendly. See, they listen, they're proud of it, they say hello, they pray for us, and enter into that. So, questions at BFTBC.org, 856-261-9018. Yeah, Annie, got some more?
Just another one.
Okay.
Hello, Pastor Ray. Everyone in person, including the dentists, and those that attend via the internet, in one person being part of this Bible study with you. My friends are with each one of you. The friends requested as well as the unspoken request. I keep these bills there also. And I'm doing a good job with the cameras. Because this is an exciting time to say. Joy and thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus Christ, smile on the road, and on you.
We're brand new. She's all the way from Canada. We're up in Canada, see? Almost. So she's listening and she's proud of us. And so I don't know if you've ever been to a church just exactly like this. It has internet all over. So, but it's small here, but we're large out there. So praise the Lord. Not to be proud or arrogant, but I'm just saying the Lord is blessing many people coming. Praise the Lord for that. So unsaved people that think that they're too good to go to hell, or I think that they're going to be saved on their own. They have pride, but they're not. Just a minute. Hello, Rob. Hi.
Hi, Pastor.
Rob from Chicago.
I just want to say I am not from the city, not from the country, but from the suburbs of Chicago. I wrote to your guests, and I enjoyed the beautiful singing, the extra voices in the podcast.
Okay, thanks, Rob. That's a good way to look. Chicago, Illinois. Rob, okay, thank you, Rob. Questions at BFTBC.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. But those that are lost, the tendency is for them to think what? If they're not interested in salvation through faith in Christ. What is their thought?
Self-righteous.
Does it make it all right? What is it, Tony?
Trusting themselves.
Trusting themselves, pull themselves up with all the bootstraps and so on. And they many times say this very thing that is mentioned here, that they are nothing is wrong with them, they hold themselves not guilty. But in Romans chapter 3, what does it say? All the world may become guilty before God. See? There's not a single person that's going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ for the saved, but the great white throne judgment for all the lost. None of them would say, well, I'm sorry, I did the best. If they're guilty before God. And the only those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Him as our Savior, He bore our guilt, He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary, we go free. But those others, sometimes they say, I'm not guilty, and this is a terrible thing to have them to say, that we are not anything wrong with what I've done or what I haven't done, and this is a terrible thing to do. Hold themselves like that. Now, also in verse 5, they that sell them. Now, this probably will be sell either the flocks, the sheep, little sheep, or maybe the people into slavery. We've got white slavery even today all over the world. Not only slavery, physical slavery in the Civil War time with Africans. We have white slavery, sexual slavery. It's all over the world. But they that sell them, what is true? What do they say? Blessed be the Lord, for I am rich. They make money on the sale. Now, what about people that are lost and bound for hell and say, blessed be the name of the Lord? What do you think about those people? Are they really, genuinely blessing the Lord? They're not saved. What? Well, then, that's your problem, but. That's a text message. We don't take text messages. That particular tune is text. I don't deal with text. It's too much work and expense. But if you text me, give me a call, 856-261-9018. We'd be glad to talk with you. Or questions at bftbc.org for the email. Now, there's lots of people that use those terms, they're lost as anything, but they say, blessed be the Lord, they have religious terminology.
Yes.
But that's hypocrisy, as far as I'm concerned. Yes. The only ones that can say, blessed be the Lord, the ones that are saved, born again, and the Lord's children, saved Christian people, born again. After I am rich. Yes. Yes, after that. Could be.
It's
a terrible blasphemy using his own name. And this seems to be very unsaved to say either by ignorance or by hypocrisy, blessed be the Lord. For I am rich. Well, then we read in 1 Timothy. Remember in our Sunday afternoon Bible studies, when 1 Timothy chapter 6, what do you read about this?
Love of money to the Lord.
Love of money, that's in the book of James. Love of money.
No, it's Timothy. That's
6, that's right.
13,
that's right, the love of money, read all this, right, it's Timothy 6. I think James was second to say about who this. Who's this? Turn your volume down on the internet, sir. Please turn the volume down here. Turn the volume down on the internet. We're way there anyway. I don't know who it is.
Just turn the speakers, the muted speakers.
Okay. Let's move the
6-second delay on the.
Turn it on back?
30-second delay on the.
He says it's unavailable, see? Invalid number, unavailable.
Okay. So
Jack, could be Jack, but he would write his name on the thing. I think so. Turn the volume down, if you would, sir, on your internet reception. And
yes.
Yeah, call us back if you want to, 856-261-9018. Absolutely. So we're over there and verse number 5 said, I'm rich. They're talking about the love of money, is it really? Chapter
6,
verse 10, thank you. We talked about that last Sunday afternoon, didn't we? And that's rich. Reading the book Revelation, we're going to get that put out one of these days. Julie is helping us with my hand. And I'm going over some of the things. I mean, one of the verses in chapter 2 of Revelation, going over kind of revising different things. And one of the churches in Revelation says, I'm rich, and so on. Except, you know, so there's various things. There are riches in Christ or riches in gold.
The church by the sea,
and so
they're way wealthy because of this medicine that they have for their eyes, physical eyes, but yet they need their spiritual eyes open.
Yes.
See.
In this particular, I think it was a church at Smyrna, chapter 2, and he said, they were in poverty.
Yes.
Well, I know, but it says, I think it's Smyrna, chapter 2, take a look and see, that though they are in poverty, yet they're rich. See, they have poverty, very great poverty, but they're rich. Rich in Christ. See, it's spiritual riches as opposed to physical riches. So, I think there's a conflict here, Dan.
Verse 9, brother. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich.
Yes.
And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. But the synagogue is saying, for these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast thee into prison. He may be tried and shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful to death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
So, in poverty, yet they're rich. So you can have poverty, physical poverty, and riches in Christ. We have riches in physical things and poverty in spiritual things too. Those people are well to do. I had an email came in today about a man who said he wants to help me to get everybody to get rich and how to do it. And I went on and on and on. But I don't know what the man said. Well, we're going to stop right here. I didn't look at the time. We just got into the close now. But if you have other comments or questions before we close, we'll stop here at this verse. And that says here, it's a difficult section of Scripture. It's such rich with meanings we can have as well. Do you have other comments or questions you'd like to bring in at this time? All right. If not, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you we can discuss these matters of thy word. We thank you for the Scriptures that are before us. We thank you for the visitors that are here. Give them Godspeed as they go back to the Binghamton area in New York tomorrow. And give them safety. Thank you that they looked us up in the Yellow Pages and came to a visit. We ask you for their family as they're homeschooling their two children. Guide them, direct them, and supply their needs. And may we go forward. We ask you for those that will be coming for the Lord's Day. And Kathy Wu is going to be bringing a dinner and lunch for us at that time. And for those that are coming, may thy word go forth in power as we take the last part of 1 Corinthians 15. This coming Lord's Day. Go with us and bless us and use us to thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Thank you for coming.